Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict. I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict. Russin
Rocky.
Other names. Trade X Pod. Let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm Zach Reed. I have a trading problem as well, gentlemen.
Yay. What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 418 of the TradeX podcast, where even though the network went away, the DAP's always here to stay. And we got three DAPs. Hell yeah. And as you hear, we have Zach on tonight. He came out of the bullpen once again. We always appreciate that. Haywood Almanac had some personal stuff come up. It's on his Twitter if you want to talk, if you want to see it. I didn't, it's not my place to talk about it, but he's talked about it and we wish him all the best. Obviously, some personal stuff went down, so he'll be on in July. But we have Zach. That's all we need. And Zach, how are you first off?
Fantastic. It's good to see you gentlemen again. And I know that I'm like the backup plan.
No.
But I always appreciate the call from the pen. I can work on short rest. I can get ready in a hurry. And so it's always, I get that text. You know, you had the big long like couching, you know, can you come on? I know it's short. And I'm like, nah, it's good. I'm there.
The only reason you're never the plan guest is because we call you in so many times otherwise. And it's like, he's just on a couple months ago. We're not going to like schedule him now. So
I feel like it's really close. I may be catching Russ for a number of appearances on the show.
Yeah, I think so.
You're getting close. And obviously there are two plan times in my life where we have Zach on, where he's first call and it's rookie season. And of course, Bold Prediction Show in August. So he will be back for that. We're going to try and see if we get one of those right. But let's now. Oh, what's drop your socials and everything, what you're doing right now, real quick.
At Tacit Assassin 13 on Blue Sky. I am currently a Fantasy Cares guy. The Dynasty Dummies Hoot Nanny is over. They're still up. If you have rookie drafts, like you can go back and listen. But yeah, we're full on Scott Fishbowl now. Fantasy Cares has got the underdog, the $5 underdog best ball drafts, and we're rolling into Scott Fishbowl 16 season. So that's where we're at.
Scoring tomorrow for those who are.
What division are you in, Zach?
I am in the Baseball Stars division. I couldn't go anywhere else. It's really funny. Baseball Stars is actually what got me into Dynasty Fantasy Football. Which sounds weird, but that was the first video game that you could GM and create a team and like power up your players and trade and have a lineup and a full season, and it mattered. And so that's where I kind of got into building dynasties way back.
Yeah. What are you in, Rocky?
When I logged in, I actually didn't log in until like a week and a half after I got my invite. And there was not a lot of MFL stuff. I think Baseball Stars actually might have still been there. But I figured since I'm so old, I'll just go in the Pong division. And I'm in Pong. Even though I don't think I've ever actually played Pong. But I'm as old as Pong. So it made sense to me.
I thought you were going to be Tecmo for sure.
I don't think that was an option. When I pulled up the MFLs, it was not an option. So
okay. Might have been a sleeper or something. All right. Let's get into
the news.
We actually have more than we were going to have as of this morning. A lot's happened today. So We'll start with the big kind of dynasty one. I know we've kind of talked beaten this one to death, but we need to kind of talk about it a little bit more. The Giants don't know if Neighbors will be ready for week one. Harbaugh says this is not a simple knee injury. So, Zach, are you lowering Neighbors in dynasty yet, or are you still just saying he'll be, even if he's out a little bit this year?
It's one of those where, like, it's obviously not great that they're not singing praises and saying that Neighbors is going to be back, but it's also not a story yet.
Yeah.
Until something actually comes out factually negative, this is still just a really nice buy window for Neighbors. It's still Malik Neighbors. And even if he misses a couple of weeks into the season, like, we will know more about why if that happens, because they'll have to answer questions. But I still think that he is that good. I mean, he's a top five receiver when he's healthy, maybe higher than that, maybe top two or three. So, yes, not good. I don't think Harbaugh necessarily knows everything about this situation. He's coming in kind of, you know, on the fly, cold. And so, good answer by Harbaugh. No knee injury is simple. And I just think that this is still a buy window on Neighbors. It's not something I'm worried about. It's not something I'm happy about, but not something I'm going to panic on.
Yeah. Rocky, you've kind of held that same opinion over these last couple of months. Are you still there?
Oh yeah, definitely. It's exactly what Zach said. If anything, if you can get a slight discount, it's a reason to buy. I never worry about things in May in general. Anything anybody says, even like I said, I mean, unless they were saying right now he's absolutely not going to play the first eight games of the season, like, then I'm a little worried. But even then, from a dynasty perspective, he's a guy going into his third year who's shown he can be elite. Even then, I'm probably trying to buy, and hopefully at a discount, because people are worried that they won't have him for this year.
Lamb or Neighbors right now? Rocky.
Neighbors.
Zach?
Yeah, I think so, but it's close. I mean, yeah, they're both producers. I think, Rocky's siding with Neighbors because he's younger, and I think that's the answer.
Yep. Yes, agreed.
He's 22. He's going to be 23 in July.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Rocky.
He and I are practically twins.
Let's cue the music. Todd Bowles expects Bucky sometime in the summer or fall. Schefter was clearly yelled at by a GM because he sprinted to correct it and reported he should be back sometime for training camp, but he's going to miss mini camp. So, Zach, obviously Bucky, no pun intended, kind of limped into the end of 2025. So are we dropping Bucky now?
I mean, it's running backs are pretty disposable. I'm not sure you're dropping him, but I think that running backs are disposable. They went out and got Gainwell. They have – I don't think Bucky Irving was ever going to be a feature three-down back. Like, I don't think that has ever been in his cards, even from college. He was a great pass catcher, and I think the same thing is true for Gainwell. So I think that even once – he comes back, there's a split there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's just the major concern, is it leaves an even bigger opening for Gainwell to take a bigger part of that split than maybe he otherwise would have had if Bucky was completely healthy coming into training camp.
The nice thing for Irving, though, is Gainwell's not going to take over an entire backfield either.
No.
So you're not necessarily worried about that in terms of – it's not somebody who was a I'll use air quotes, bell cow or a workhorse either way. So,
yeah.
And the game was also not a bad pass catcher himself either.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. Right. That's what I'm saying. It's a little, just the signing itself, honestly, was just a little discouraging as a Bucky fan, just because they can fill similar roles. Either of them can kind of do the same thing.
Yeah.
And Tucker's still there too, to kind of vulture some goal line stuff. But Dynastud asked, what are you doing with Gainwell shares? He said he would rather have a 27 third. I think that's too low.
Yeah, I don't think a third gets it done for me. To me, I think probably people aren't going to be excited about Gainwell. So Gainwell is a piece in a bigger deal to get your, you know, get yourself over the hump. But the funny thing about Gainwell is, so I rostered Kenny Gainwell last year in, well, I guess I have him still in TA 11. He was running back 15 in TA scoring last year. Like, pass catching matters, fellas. This is where we're at still in Dynasty.
Yeah. Scat backs matter.
Yep.
That's our new phrase. That's where we're hashtag scat backs matter.
Tight ends don't matter. Scat
backs. Tight ends don't matter. Scat backs too. That's right. all right. Josh Jacobs arrested for, let's just say, all sorts of bad stuff.
Yeah.
He has denied the charges because, of course, he did. I said for the legal stuff, follow Drew Davenport. He does a great job. He's already put out. He said the charges were pretty heavy looking at them first. So he's going to put out his full like 25 tweet report that you can read. And I'm sure it's going to be great. So let's just look at. I think we can assume base case Jacobs is back. It could be a 2027 thing because they could appeal. They could do this, that, and the other thing. And I looked it up. His cap hit goes way down next year. It's like $3 million, so they could be done with him next year. But there's nothing really behind Jacobs. There's Lloyd, and who I've said is perpetually questionable, and Chris Brooks. I've listed some free agents. I think the names that call out to me are Najee, Alex Mattison, maybe Kareem Hunt, although he's getting kind of up there. You could trade for people. I mean, do they go get Emmanuel Wilson back?
I don't think they make a trade. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think that trading for running back, especially when, and it's really funny, you started listing names. Those are totally different names than I would be looking at if, and if I were Gutekunst, but like, it's not, I'm not the GM. So like, it's not my place, but like, I would be looking for Hunt and Eckler and maybe Mostert to be the guys that I put in there. Just because I think you want somebody who Jacobs has been an underrated pass catcher and somebody who can do kind of a little bit of everything. And I think that it's more toward the Kareem Hunt, Eckler, who've had that kind of entire backfield to themselves. Even Mostert did a little bit with the Dolphins when things went sideways.
Yeah. People on the fantasy streets are kind of running with Benson to the Packers, give him a fresh start. That would be great. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Given Love and everyone's there, but I don't know. We'll see. And then TradeX Superfan says, I'm mid rebuild and Jacobs was my last contending piece. So now what do I do?
I mean, what you weren't going to get very much for him anyway.
Yeah.
So you hang on.
Yeah, like, you probably hold at this point.
Yeah, because I was going to say hold, because I do think what you said, something you said at the beginning there of all this is actually probably what's going to happen, which is that I don't think this is probably going to be a thing in 26 anyway. So wait till he starts scoring points, and then you'll get your best value for him, because I don't think these legal things tend to drag on, especially like it just came out today. I think it drags on for many, many months, and if any suspension happens, it's probably not until 27.
Yep. Speaking of things that have dragged on, Brendan Sorsby was – I don't talk about rookie as much, but this is like the biggest supplemental draft piece in 15 years probably. So we have to talk about it a little bit. Brendan Sorsby was denied eligibility by the courts. For those who don't know, he was betting on Indiana games while at Indiana. Probably shouldn't do that. It wasn't like he was betting on something on the side like Calvin Ridley. He was betting on his own team. So that's
– Pete Rose them.
Yeah, and I think so. Let's just walk through him as a prospect. I don't know if Zach, he can shake his head yes or no if he ever watched him. He did not. Okay, so Athletic had him kind of first two rounds of 2027 draft before he played another snap this year. He was going to Texas Tech. That was going to be a very big deal for him because Texas Tech is loaded. He's 6'3", 235. He threw for 2,800 yards and 27 touchdowns with 5 picks at Cincinnati. And he rushed for 600 yards. So we don't know officially he is heading to the supplemental draft. He has a court case on June 1st, which is the same day A.J. Brown's money rolls off. So June 1st could be a very fun day for everybody. But Texas Tech is also appealing. So, Rocky, I'm going to actually start with you, and then we'll circle back to Zach. As a commissioner, of all sorts of leagues of shapes and sizes. What are you doing with Sorsby? I know he's locked on one of the leagues you and I play together. So what are you doing with him for now?
Yeah, that's a good question because I haven't fully decided yet. I've heard this came up, and I think in the Cool Kids Club, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. I think it came up that like the idea of like having like people be able to bid picks, kind of like what the NFL actually does with the supplemental draft, as a way of obtaining them, but. Even then, I guess it comes down to like you got to. I guess you could break a tie by last year's standings or something like that. But that also seems like a lot of commish work, so I'm not sure I want to do that. But Zach, you look like you had something you wanted to say there.
I think what I would do is say anybody who wants them, put in your 27 first, and then we'll put them on a wheel. We'll spin it. Whoever comes up, you spent that 27 first to get them.
You fantasy care guys and your wheels. Yeah. No, that's a good kind of random way to do it. I think if you actually had to start bidding 27 first, people would back off in a hurry. Yeah. Although, you know, he's in the tier two of the 27 QBs. I know we're not there yet. Anyone who evaluated him said he's above Simpson, but behind Mendoza right now. So.
That's not that you are behind Mendoza, but above Simpson, Frank, in my 26.
Hypothetically. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough. I think let's start with this. If you haven't done a rookie draft, wait 2 more weeks because there's no point in doing it now. If he could potentially be there and be a 26 first for someone. And you guys don't need to do it, which no one needs to do their rookie draft in on May 26th, then maybe hold off until the case and he's in the draft. But
yeah, I mean, if you haven't had your rookie draft, I agree. I think it's fine to just put him in this rookie draft. If it comes out soon that he's going in the supplemental draft and he'll be in the league and he'll be on the team. Yes.
Yes. And the NCAA has been fairly toothless when it comes to this stuff. See Trinidad Chambliss, who is back at Ole Miss, even though like 7 courts said he shouldn't, but 1 court said he should. So he's back in Ole Miss. So I don't know. He's a good player. I just you don't know what he's going to be in the NFL or who's going to take him, right? If the Jets take him, then we have problems. But I don't know.
I do think if the commission is willing to do it, and I may be in the leagues that I commish, I think the idea of doing the pick bidding. I mean, it's not that much work to just get 12 teams, you know, say what they're willing to sell, like in say 27 picks for him. Like maybe if somebody has 227 seconds and that's the highest bid, then that gets them. And if it's a tie, you go to last year's standings. I think that's probably the fairest way. I mean, you can't really do it on waivers because
I was just there's no
tiebreaker if everybody bids all their money.
Yeah.
So I feel like waivers is not a fair way to do it. So I think I might actually go with the pick bid option in my leagues. If I just make a, you know, like I said, I mean, it's only more of a pain in the ass for me because I'm commissioning like 7 leagues. So I would have to do this for like, makes like 7 different tabs on a spreadsheet and 12 teams get all their bids in each league and all that stuff. So, but if you're only commissioning one, especially, it's not that much work.
Yeah. Zach, would you pay a 27 second for the thought of Brendan Sorsby?
I don't know. Probably because somebody will pay more. Yeah. So yes, like, I haven't gotten lucky. I haven't watched him, and the only thing that like is remotely exciting is the fact that he ran for 600 yards. Like that's what pops in his profile.
Yes, he's a big boy too, 6'3", 235, and he'll probably put muscle on for the NFL. So he's a big boy. Okay. Minor stuff, I'll burn through all of it. Aaron Rodgers says he will retire after this season. The amount of people celebrating that made me just slightly uncomfortable last week, but we'll just leave that alone. Stafford, 1-year extension will keep him through the 2027 season. He will be 40 years old at that time. Jacoby Brissett and the Cardinals are significantly far apart on the contract. That's like my favorite story of this offseason, I'm telling you. I need Jacoby to earn $45 million somehow. Schefter is reporting that Tyreek Hill may not be ready until midway through the season, which is going to hurt a lot of things. And Chargers GM did not rule out signing Keenan Allen. I've said for months they should sign him for $1 million until he doesn't want to do it anymore. And Ayuk is expected to be released or traded by the end of the summer. And I read that as before training camp, he will be somewhere else. Any takeaways from any of that, Zach?
I'm excited to see where Ayuk lands. That's the big one for me. And obviously the Tyreek Hill injury, it's a bad injury for a fast guy, full stop. Yeah. And Tyreek Hill has made all of his money based on how fast he is. Like, that's been his one gimmick, his one ability that is just plus plus. And so the longer this goes, the more, and he was talking about retiring even before the injury.
I was just going to say, didn't like 2 years ago he said he's retiring after the 25 season? Self-fulfilling prophecy there. Yeah. Like, maybe he should just do that.
Yeah, right. If he can go to the Chiefs for a dollar and win a ring, he probably would, but I don't think they'll take him back. That was kind of a messy exit.
Yeah.
I agree on Ayuk. I think that's the most interesting part of this. It's probably Commanders, but if it's not, I don't know where it is. So
I mean, New England is still – I mean, I know A.J. Brown has been rumored there, but, New England is still a place where there should be a receiver land. There are a few places that would be interesting to see Ayuk be, just because I do think that he is – very talented as a downfield stretcher, and also has become a pretty good across the middle physical player as well.
Yes. So, as a side note, we as an industry have had too much time to think about where AJ Brown's going to go, because he's being put on the Rams now and the Chiefs to replace Rasheed Rice. And I think he's a Patriot. I would be shocked if he's not. But
I mean, yes, but. It kind of comes down to the money. Like, he's out of, assuming that they let him go, he's out of his contract. Like, so.
Well, I think the money thing, and Rocky can maybe say this better than I can, I think the money thing was just restricting his trade. It's like he still gets like two more years, but it's not a bunch of guarantee or something like that where he can go over. So.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he goes. I hope he's in New England, because obviously I'm a Patriots fan, even though I'm not the like bang the table, get up in your face Patriots fan, and I can congratulate Rocky on a Super Bowl, you know, after they put it to us with the throw to Foles. So like it's all good.
Yeah. Okay, Zach, do you want to do trades or listener questions? If it helps, we have far less trades.
Let's do trades. I always do trades first because I like the I'm a save the last savory bite. You know, that's how I eat. So I want to get the trades out of the way.
We're gonna get to eating soon. I gave Rocky ahead of time thinking on that, but it's time for
Trade Addicts trade.
And Trade Addicts leagues are 12 team Superflex PPR 10 and premium with 1.75 per 10 reception and 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1, and we don't have any TA1 trades because we're mostly through rookie drafts and everyone's kind of taking a break, but we start in TA7 with JJ McCarthy for a 27 third and fourth. My, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah.
Zach?
That's got to be McCarthy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but like a third and a fourth. And I'm not a McCarthy guy. I was not a McCarthy guy when he came out. I took a lot of flack for that, especially from a certain family in Minnesota. Both the dad and the son, who are both smarter than I am, but man, I took a lot of flack. But I do think McCarthy is worth more than two picks that I don't care about.
Sure, there was no bias on that hate from Minnesota, but
yeah, I don't think any of us are McCarthy guys, but. Even I'm taking the shot for a third and a fourth.
Yeah.
I put this on here mainly, though, just to kind of, discuss, are you, Zachary, if this was a 27 second, are you sending that for McCarthy?
I don't believe I am, because I think that there is a much greater than non-zero chance that he fades into the oblivion that a lot of high-drafted quarterbacks who just never materialized fade into. So it won't surprise me to see him. It's funny because he's on that same path, and he was very similar to me to Darnold. I mean, to basically every quarterback the Jets have ever drafted. Like, that was the thing where, like, you'd see him make plays, and they would be great. Like, he would make, you know, a rolling to his right all the way back across the field at Michigan, completion for 25 yards on a third and 17. And then the next play, he would turn around and do something completely stupid. And you're like, what? And that was, you know, that's the type of quarterback that I try to stay away from, because it's easy to dream on them, but they still have to throw the ball 35 times in the NFL. Yep. So,
but yes, that's why I thought it was interesting, because, like, we're all just like, yeah, I would do this, but, like, this is probably all you can get for. I mean, maybe sure. The second pick could have been a third, but, like, it's most people, I think, are not paying a second. So if you just want to get out, and then you think he's just going to never start again, then why not?
To me, it's worth those two picks for the chance that he starts, the chance that
which is
plays.
A non-zero chance. As we're putting Kyler in the starting spot really quickly, but they're going to compete.
Sure, but there's also the, like, Kyler may not last the full season. Mm-hmm. He may beat Kyler out, but I think Kyler Murray is 10 times the quarterback that McCarthy is. But there's the non-zero chance that McCarthy plays at some point during the season, and then he's immediately worth more than a third and a fourth.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we talked about this kind of last week, but and I know it's now only a year. If I'm given, like, a contending second away, I'll take Rodgers or Goff or something like that instead of McCarthy. Like, just at least I get a player that's going to play a year. So,
I mean, see what you can do to get Stafford. I mean, Stafford's, is he a first at this point? I mean, he's, you know, he's at the end of things.
If you're contending, yeah, probably, which is freaky given where he was 12 months ago. We were getting him for nothing.
Because he's at very at least more than a single second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's, I would rather have Rodgers, who at least on paper is going to start all 17 games this year. Obviously, Tahiti trips happen, as Zach would say, but, you know, it looks like he's going to start all 17 games. So let's see how that goes. Okay. We can hit the button for this one. So both of these in TA9 were me, and I'll explain my rationale on these at the end. But Justin Herbert and Quentin Johnston for the Vikings QB duo of Kyler and JJ and DK Metcalf. Zach, what do you think?
I think I prefer the Herbert side. I think Herbert is really underrated, but this is not as far off as, like, it's not an easy decision. Mm-hmm. I think Kyler Murray has potential to be back in the top five or six production-wise. DK Metcalf is a good wide receiver, but I don't believe that the gap between Metcalf and Quentin Johnston is enough to make up the gap of people are going to remember who Justin Herbert is, I think, at some point soon.
Yes. Rocky, what do you think?
Yeah, so I am sort of with, I think the, like, in a vacuum value is on probably the Justin Herbert side. I personally might take the other side just as a Kyler stan, and the JJ McCarthy part is fine, whatever, but, like, and I do still like DK Metcalf if he can ever have legit quarterbacking again, but I do think that, like Zach said, I mean, there is the and we've seen Kevin O'Connell do it with everyone but JJ McCarthy. Like, he's had quarterbacks play well under him. So we could see an improved Kyler as well. And even the Kyler we've seen his whole career has generally been a top 10-ish quarterback for fantasy. So I think for me, because I think I am fairly high on Kyler still, and relative to, like, I think most people. And the gap between Metcalf and Johnston is enough for me that I would personally probably want that side. But I think, like I said, like, if you were to poll 100 people, I think, like, the value is probably on the Herbert side, but just slightly. Like I said, Zach said that it's not that far off.
And yeah. I agree. Yeah. What side do you think I got?
I honestly can't remember either. I wrote this. I pulled this from the leagues, and I can't remember which side you got. But I'll let Zach answer just in case it's somewhere buried in my memory.
I think you got the Herbert side.
I did not. I gave the Herbert side. And here's why. So I inherited this TA9 team like halfway through the first round. And it's very top heavy in terms of talent. It's kind of like Herbert and then a big drop at quarterback and then a bunch of kind of middling wide receivers and not a lot else. So I'm trying to cut this team up. And this was the one where I'm 99% sure I did this trade in TA9 too, where I traded like Amon-Ra for T. Higgins and Waddle and like cut that piece in half. And like, that's, I'm trying to kind of diversify picks away or like system. Pieces.
Yeah.
And I still think Keenan Allen's going to be a Charger. And I understand the offense is going to be great. I don't believe in Quentin Johnston repeating what he did last year. Maybe he will, and I'm probably going to be wrong, but if I'm not, I don't get as big of a drop at QB as, you know, for me. I think I agree with both of you. I think Kyler could scream right back to the top 10 and sit there pretty, and then DK's better than Quentin.
Do you think that Justin Herbert, though, relies on Quentin Johnston to be a top 10 quarterback? I mean, he was a top 10 quarterback last year. Herbert was, even though he was awful and the sky is falling and Harbaugh's there and we're only going to pass two times a game. And, you know, like all of those things, like Herbert was still a top 10 quarterback last year in spite of all of that. And in spite of how bad Quentin Johnston is, and in spite of how old Keenan Allen is, like Justin Herbert has still been Justin Herbert, because I think good quarterbacks kind of do that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's not a, I also think Kyler Murray can do that.
Yeah. And to answer your first question, no, I don't think you need Quentin Johnston to be some alpha for Justin Herbert to be great. I've taken, and by the way, I'm in like the middle of like 15 eliminator drafts. I've taken a ton of Charger stacks. Like I'm buying it. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid just like everyone else, but if Keenan Allen's there catching 60 balls and McConkey is going to be McConkey, and I think I find myself liking McConkey more and more, which I'm kind of scared of. And Quentin Johnston's catching, you know, 50 balls, but they're deep balls, and Gadsden's getting his and Hampton's getting his. It's just like there's a ton of mouths to feed. And I haven't even counted in Njoku, who's going to vulture 4 touchdowns from somebody. So could Quentin Johnston be great? Yes. I think DK Metcalf is, despite having Pittman and all them there, I think he is the number one wide receiver in Pittsburgh still. And that still means a little more than Quentin to me. But
yeah, no, and I agree with you there. I think that maybe the way I'm playing this is I think that in 2 years, Justin Herbert is still going to be a top 6 or 7 dynasty quarterback. And so I don't think you're losing much production on that side, but I think you're gaining the ability to make a move later with Herbert that you won't have with Kyler.
Yep.
But
that's totally fair.
Or and may not have with Kyler.
The JJ piece
may have that, but
the JJ piece was just to cover Kyler in case something goes horribly wrong. And
you can trade him for whatever draft pick is going to pick the next Minnesota quarterback.
Well, that was the other reason I took DK, because if DK goes crazy, his value will be higher than Quentin's, even at Quentin's highest. Yep. So I'm trying to kind of see forward to what picks I can turn these into. That's why I picked Waddle. That's why I picked Higgins. Sure. Like, all these guys could be worth first if they perform. So
I just, it's all a moot point because my boy Brennan Thompson is just going to take over the Chargers.
Yes, he's going to have 3 touchdowns and Quentin's going to have 2 and everyone's going to freak out.
Oh, I really hope that turns into something with the offense, with the McDaniel offense now in, you know, he's got his hand in that pie.
Yeah.
Oh,
they have Trey Harris and Brennan Thompson on the same team. You might have to be a Chargers fan.
I got Brennan Thompson in every single draft because I could get him in the 4th round.
Yeah.
So, like, I got him in every single rookie draft because he's sitting there at the 4th round, mid-4th, late-4th, and I'm like, cool.
Brain Burst says Brennan Thompson is going to go for over 100 yards on 4 receptions week 1, and Zach will be giddy.
But it's going to be week 1 of the preseason.
By the way, I was looking at the schedule. Did you know the Hall of Fame game is Panthers Cardinals?
I did not.
Oh,
no.
At least it's
we're in Canton the week before this year. It's weird. Usually we're the week after, and it's the expo is moved. So
there's not going to be any football to watch, which is sad. But that's
But it's going to be over. I mean, we're leaving on my birthday, but it's over my birthday weekend.
There we go.
Me and Malik Nabers. He'll be, he'll be 23 on that Tuesday. I'll be like,
you'll be right around the same age, Zach, right?
Yeah. I'll be 45 this year. So, yeah, I look good. I still got my hair from when I was 20. Beautiful. Yeah.
Okay, the other one I did was Bucky Irving, Christian Watson, and Pat Freiermuth for Brandon Ayuk, Alec Pierce, Malik Washington, and a 28-second.
That's a lot of things. I think it's Ayuk in this one. To me, like, out of all of the pieces, that's probably the one that I want.
Not Pierce. Interesting.
No, you're thinking of Peter Howard. Pierce is fine.
That's true.
But no, I think that the biggest predictor of guys being top 24 in a position is having done it before.
Yeah.
And I think Ayuk is the guy who, you know, is the one that you can look at and say, assuming he lands somewhere, they're going to want him there. Mm-hmm. They're going to put him on the field. He should see targets because he is good enough to generate targets. He's the piece that I want out of all this. And honestly, the 28 second is kind of a fun throw in at the end of that.
Yeah. Becky, what do you think?
I struggle with this one. Why?
Because you hate everything except Bucky Irving on one side?
Pretty much.
I love Bucky Irving.
I think I lean the Irving side, but I don't feel good about it. Just because, like you said, I'm another guy I stand is Bucky Irving, and if he can return to health, we talked about it.
We're gonna have to get off that wagon if he's not coming back.
I know that's the health is an issue, and Gainwell is an issue. So this may be a bad, it may look bad in 6 months, but I also don't love anything on the other side. I worry about Ayuk at this point. He's not played in a while. He is 28. Alec Pierce, I think, is overrated. The second's nice, but it's also 2 years out. So I'll just take Bucky and Christian Watson. And
I have never been happier in an offseason as I was when Alec Pierce re-signed. Because he saved the Patriots from being just completely stupid.
Yeah,
he's going to have like a handful of games that you're going to love having him on your team, and he's going to have a bunch where you don't. So,
yes.
So I got the Ayuk side, and I point back to what I was doing with trying to break up for picks. If Ayuk comes back, and I think he's more talented than Terry McLaurin if he's healthy, maybe you could argue that, and maybe we should, maybe I'm just talking out of my ass on that one, but Pierce could have. Pierce has this hype train going, and if he has a couple big weeks, he'll be – I can strip him for parts. And Malik Washington could be – I don't want to say it this way because he's so much less talented, but Jarvis Landry, who had, like, 150 catches that were 2 yards off the off the line of scrimmage because the quarterbacks couldn't do anything. So I liked the pieces that I got, and just because I can break them up into other stuff later. And the trading Bucky away looks a little better now, because this was before all that. But like, I don't think I would have got this done today.
Probably not.
This trade. So yeah. I'm fine with it. And the Pierce hype train is kind of unstoppable. Although, like I said, we have too much time to think about things. People are starting to put downs in front of Pierce and this, that, and the other thing. And maybe he is, but for now, he got extended for 4 years, and he's going to be, at least in theory, the number one wide receiver. So I can strip that for parts down the line. Okay. We can go to listener questions. Tommy B at FF, TommyB.BSky.social. He says, one of my favorite, of course, I love how Tommy phrases this. This is such a Tommy question. One of my favorite parts of Dynasty is the fact that we get a 300-piece puzzle where the image on the front changes every year, and it's our privilege to sort out which edges still belong together and which don't. What does your puzzle look like this non-point scoring season compared to last year's? As usual, when Tommy writes these really long philosophical questions, I don't have a great answer to it. But
same.
Currently, my puzzle looks like the dog just came flying in through the living room, bumped into the coffee table,
yeah.
And all of the pieces are now scattered all over the floor, upside down. I'm trying to put them back together. Like, it's funny. This time of year, I'm still trying to get myself back into Dynasty fantasy football mode, mm-hmm. because I have been in rookie evaluation mode for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard for me to share. And I've still been doing rookie drafts, so I'm not completely out of it. But like, within the next 2 weeks, I will reevaluate my rosters, figure out what the heck I did with my rookie drafts, because I'm just picking BPA, the best player available. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what I do. May not be what you think is best player available,
right?
But it's what I've kind of parsed the way I do things, and I'll start trying to figure out where my team is, who has come and gone in my league. Because yep. I think that's one of the things that gets missed often, is the who is in your league matters more than what is on your team. And the guys who first come in, and you just talked about this, Frank, you just inherited a team, right, midway through a draft, and mm-hmm. you're already starting to fire pieces away. I think that if you can get in early in that redistribution, and when dynasty managers come in and kind of make a team their own, if you can get in on that, that's a big advantage. If you're active and willing and understanding, and maybe you see Frank make a couple of these trades and you go, oh, okay, so he is breaking down big pieces into little pieces. What else does he have? How can I help him, and how can I help me? You know, so I think that's kind of where I'm at in my leagues, where I'm still trying to get my footing, but I'm also trying to find the places where it's easy to, you know, knock something free mm-hmm. and start making moves, start thinking about, because we're not at the point scoring season yet, but we're certainly getting there.
And we have a question on that later that Dynast had asked, and I thought was a great question. So we'll get to that kind of thought process. But Rocky, what's your puzzle look like?
I don't have a great answer for this, but thinking about it, and I started looking at some of the ADP, because this idea came to my head. Like, I feel like more than any season in recent memory, that this maybe instead of a 300-piece puzzle is a much harder 1,000-piece puzzle. Because I'm like looking at, like, just looking at the top six of different positions in ADP on DLF. Like, three of the top six are Jaden Daniels, who's definitely a big question mark after what happened last year. Joe Burrow, mm-hmm. who gets hurt all the time. Caleb Williams, who's looking on the upward trajectory, but
easy,
wild,
yeah. But QB6 is kind of like a little high. Running back Jeremiah Love, you know, is a great talent, but on the Cardinals, as he's RB3. Ashton Jeanty was maybe not as great as we liked would have liked last year, and is on the Raiders. Devon Achan is at 5 and is on a dumpster fire. Even like if you go to receiver, Justin Jefferson, you know, we have question marks because of quarterback, and we thought he was quarterback proof, but he wasn't. Puka has his own issues right now and is at wide receiver 3. Like even the elite options, it's like I don't feel fully Malik Nabers is at wide receiver 6, and we just talked about him, even mm-hmm. though we all like him going forward. But like, I just feel like this. I don't even know what this puzzle looks like right now. I'm doing the puzzle without the box, basically, is how it feels like.
Yeah, and to your point, Lamb is wide receiver 7, at least on the rankings I'm looking at, and he's competing with wide receiver 10 or something like that right now. So that's even harder.
And this year, not only do you have all that, but you also have a really bad rookie class.
I meant to mention that too. You're not even getting like an infusion of talent here.
That's how I build my teams.
Yes. Yeah.
That's literally like that is how I make my dynasty teams. And this class is luckily I traded out of it for the most part. But like it is bad, bad.
Yeah.
Like I don't have one player graded. No, that's not true. I have one player graded out in the top 25 at a position of players that I've watched since 2017. And it's Love. Like, that's it. Yeah. Full stop. Done.
Yeah. I'm sitting here giggling to myself because can you imagine if J. Mike had done the J. Mike Invitational in this draft? The lore would be dead. He wouldn't have gotten what he has.
Somehow they'd all hit.
And yeah, right.
Anyway, it wouldn't matter.
Mekhi Lemon would be the number one wide receiver in Philly.
No, Jeremy Bernard, Hall of Fame.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I forgot about him when I talked about Metcalf. I'm still not scared. They play different stuff.
So can I – I'm going to hijack real quick. So we did the Olympians, the 12 Olympians draft, and I'm in there with J. Mike. Russ is the commissioner. And it's the one league I still have that J. Mike is in. And we had back-to-back picks twice in the first round. Mm-hmm. And so it started off and it was 7-8 and then 9 and 10. And so J Mike had 7, I had 8, he had 9, I had 10. And so I'm sitting there going, I'm going to get Omar Cooper because J Mike is going to know that I'm going to take Jeremy. He took Omar Cooper. And as soon as he took Omar Cooper, I'm like, Jeremy Bernard at 8. This is happening. And so I did. And then all of a sudden it just got quiet in the chat. And he sends me a text, like not even in the chat, like separate, like to my phone. Yeah. Like, what was that?
Yeah.
And so I'm resigning. I send him the Omar, oh, indeed. And it just spiraled from that. He drafted Casey Concepcion. It was very like he just was so far off his game. It was fun, but also, you know, this class is so.
Yeah, and I think in terms of my puzzle, mine is kind of the same as yours. I would say, TA6 and TA8, where I was in the semis last year, are kind of the last two. Or the only kind of real two right now where I have my ish together in those, and the rest are kind of in flux. So, I think my puzzle's kind of all over the place. And Brain says Terry will be 31. Seems like everybody is all over him to have a humongous year based upon limited target competition. I just don't know if he can hold up. Father Time comes for us all. Does indeed. But
yeah, I mean, 31. It's back end of prime.
Yeah. Okay. Kevin at clearly not Kevin. My question was, what were your favorite summer food, which we'll get to, but as someone who just bought a grill for the first time, anything grilled, excited to try cooking everything on the grill. And then he said, while listening to your answer last week with the 32 team startup, which is still just insane. It made me wonder what your approaches for a smaller league 8 or 6 team would be.
Don't that draft be more as many
fullbacks. 32. Yeah. I'm trying to remember what our answer was. It was go for quarterbacks and running backs, right? Like prime positions. And then if you can get kind of one of the top two tight ends, that's gravy. But I mean, I don't think that changes too much from smaller league.
Well, it also depends on what your starting requirements are. Yeah. Like, again, the league size matters to me less than the starting requirements does, because everybody is going to have the same chance to get the same number of players, but the starting requirement gives you a chance to have advantages and also score, like scoring settings, figure out what your scoring settings are and where there may be things that people overlook. And I'll harp on this, and I probably shouldn't because I'm in TA leagues and this is TA. This is Trade Addicts. So if I say people vastly undervalue the top tier of tight ends in Trade Addicts leagues, then maybe some people will catch on eventually. But like things like that where, you know, if you can find a piece in the scoring that traditionally people miss, something like that. I also think with a small league, the second round, like rookie picks, all of a sudden like have more value because
they're first. Look,
like you may be hitting at, you know, 45% in the first half of the second round. Well, normally you're hitting at 25% in the second round. Yeah. So that, you know, just because it has a second on it and people are going to hear analysis that says, oh, you know, a second round pick doesn't matter. And I'm one of those people who often says, I don't care about second round picks. I can go get a second round pick in a rookie draft when I want it.
Mm-hmm.
But in a league that is smaller, those second round picks, because they have a two in front of it instead of a one, may end up being undervalued. And so potentially poke around, see if you can get some of those. And you're adding first round talent in the second round. It doesn't matter that it's in the second round. So, and especially in a draft where like 27 is deep. So that's a way to, I think, moving forward, gain an advantage and kind of rebuild and reestablish your team. You could be the second round pick guy, you know. People know, that you're the guy. You know, we're looking at Kevin. I get a second round pick. Kevin loves second round picks. And you know, if you can establish that, that's great.
Perfect. Rocky, anything to add?
Just that the only thing I would add is, again, not knowing how many, like assuming you're not starting 20 players because the league's so small or something, like if it's a normal starting lineup size, I think, and especially because this was referring to the 32 team startup question. So this, I was thinking startup, but also I guess applies to trading. Like I think in a league that small, getting the elite, it's always more important, but in a league that small, getting the elite options is even more important. So I'd be like in a startup, I'd be way more inclined to trade up than I would maybe in a 12 or 14 team league, something like that.
Trade into the first as many times as you can.
Yes.
You know, try to get, those guys in. Look, if you have to send a first round pick and you get a second round pick back to move up into the first, yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah. You know. Okay, Roman Runyon at our run 13, who gave me plenty of crap on Discord this week for taking Jordan Love after crapping on him for 5 years, but I got Frank might have had a beverage or two too many at the Cubs game and forgot to draft, so I got auto picked Tucker Kraft and had to kind of back into it, but he says, TA scoring McBride, Bowers, Loveland, Warren, Fannin, Kraft. How do you kind of finish the top 10 to 12 guys? He gave Pitt, Sadiq, Laporta, Kincaid, Gadsden, Stowers, Kittle, likely. Take Stowers out for now. Goddard's still there.
Take Sadiq out.
Take Sadiq out. If we're just running through this, like Kittle's easy for me. I know he's hurt, but he's got a year or two left. Roman's in the chat. That's great. I think So what, he has six?
Yeah, I mean, those guys are at 9 and 11 in ADP, so I get why he's throwing them in there.
Sadiq is?
Sadiq is 9, Stowers is 11.
That's so wild. ADP.
That's just inflating rookie.
That's yeah. so aged. Wild.
Like, and, who's behind and, Stowers?
You know what the best part? The best part is rookies are notoriously awful. Outside of last year, rookies are notoriously awful as producers at tight end.
Yes.
And so you're going to draft those guys, overdraft those guys. They're going to be bad. You're going to be mad. You're going to trade them, and then they're going to be okay. And you're going to miss out on the okay seasons because you got rid of them.
Right.
Yeah.
To answer your question, Frank, immediately behind Stowers is likely Kittle, Andrews, Kincaid.
Yeah, I'd take all of this.
Yeah.
He said Stowers was not my guy and didn't understand why he is ranked there. That's just age, and people think he's going to be the Eagles super tight end in a year, which I get the value. I took him plenty of times too, but not yet. The answer is some form of Pitts, Laporta, Gadsden, Kittle.
Did you miss Fannin, or did you do it on purpose?
Fannin's in that first six.
Okay.
So okay. If you're finishing the 10, I think it's Pitts, Laporta, Gadsden, Kittle, and if you want to throw Kincaid in there, that's probably my next one. But
I mean that's fine. I'm not even sure I throw Gadsden in there, but like yeah. Again,
I don't know what to do with him. Oh,
but we're at a point where we're like arguing the guys who don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like at this point, I would rather have Travis Kelce. Because I think he's going to score. I would rather have.
Goddard's tight end 22 on this.
Yeah,
and
I'd rather have Hunter Henry.
He's probably going to have no A.J. Brown.
I'd rather have Hunter Henry. I'd rather have Dalton Schultz. I'd rather have they're not sexy.
Mm-hmm.
But I want the guys you don't have to pay for who are going to give me a top 10, 11, 12. Season.
My boy Jake Cavender, I mean Jake Ferguson, is yeah. also another big one who I is like
I assume
he's Witten, right? Not
I assumed
good,
he was top 10.
Yeah, no, he's not. No.
So Ferguson has literally been inside the top six tight ends every year for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
If people haven't figured that out yet, we're still doing that, Frank. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's wild. That's
easy for me.
I mean, even Juwan Johnson.
Like, I know. Oscar Dulp doesn't scare me. No, is he Atlanta or New Orleans? I get hint.
New Orleans matter.
Took a tight end. Yeah,
we were zero Dulp on the Dynasty Dummies rookie right. Nanny. Yeah.
That's right, George.
But like again, I think people try to get too cute, and especially after a year where you had Warren and you had. Fannin, and you had the guy who went to Chicago, Loveland. Like after you had that year where you had rookie tight ends hit, but also if you listened to, I assume other people talked about this, if you listen to J. Mike and I, like those three guys, like we watched tight end, we're like, these guys are legitimate tight ends. Like mm-hmm. normally there's one tight end a year that I'm like, okay, this guy, I know we're not, like, people aren't super excited, but this is a guy. Like, last year, it was like, there are three real obvious guys.
Yeah.
This year, it's like, I know everybody wants Sadiq to be really good because his RAS score was high. This is not a good tight end class.
I just wish he had gone anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like, literally anywhere else.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care where he went. I think he's such a trap. And I think that this rookie class for tight ends is so I think Max Clair may be the best tight end in this class, and he's not that good.
Yeah,
like he's fine. He's like buried. He's fine. Yeah. He's just consistent. Like he's fine. He's going to be a guy who catches what 70 balls. Like when he is at his peak.
Yeah,
he catches 70 balls. He might have 800 yards, and he's going to have a few touchdowns, which is good for. Tight end 8, 9, 10, whatever. Yep. Like, I don't know. It's fine.
And I'll say two things, and then we can be done. We've spent too much time on tight ends as it is. Brain Burst, yeah, says there comes a point swiftly at tight end where you play the matchups as opposed to the above average tight end. Great, give me three of those, and I'll rotate. Like,
and you can figure out really early what teams are funneling to tight ends in the red zone, and when you figure that out, you just stream tight ends playing against that team.
Hunter Henry is the king of that specific build. Like, you know, I'm staring down at lower in the rankings. If you're telling me I can have like Hunter Henry, AJ Barner, and Dalton Schultz and rotate them, like, I'm fine with that. Like, sure. And you know, I probably don't have to pay much for that.
You know what's really funny is the Rams, especially toward the end of the season, Rams tight ends were gravy.
Yeah.
And like, nobody that you even really heard of, but they were all like, they all produced.
Yes, but then Parkinson burned you bad when you needed him.
Yeah.
He dropped like a zero, didn't he, in like the playoffs? So, yeah, no, it's bad. And the other thing I was going to say is we might have put Hawkinson in the grave just a little too fast. He was still hurt last year. Maybe he gets another year or two out of it, but
I mean, and he's
at 17.
Like, another one of those fine tight ends who also has been a top 12 before. The most predictive thing to being a top 12 at a position is to having been a top 12. Like, it's just it's what it is.
Yep. Okay. We have some answers to my question. My question was, what was your favorite summer food? Since in my mind, summer started this weekend. Jonathan Smith said most things beef, a good burger, a good brisket. Andrew Lupul says watermelon has got to be way up there for me. And Dynasted said he's all about the sweets, ice cream, popsicles, fresh stone fruit. That's very foofy of you, Dynasted. If you want to be a bit healthier, but screw health, give me that ice cream. So, Zach, I know the answer is yes, but
it's funny. Like, I know that the ice cream is like the popular answer for me. Like, the gelato place that I go to has a deal in the winter where however many degrees below freezing it is the percentage you get off. So I have gelato all winter. It's not even a summer thing for me.
Yeah.
For me, summer is food trucks. So it's the town has a green, like a big town green, and there is Taco the Town, which is really good. There is a chicken sandwich place that is just unbelievable chicken sandwiches. There's a sushi place that comes, Mr. Tuna sushi truck. They do the wraps. There is a seafood truck. So like all of those things, like food trucks, there's a poutine, Pinky D's poutine. Which I don't know if you know poutine, but that's it's kind of a French Canadian thing, but is matriculated down. But it's French fries, cheese curds, gravy, and Pinky D's does a whole bunch of different things. They have one called the Trois Cochons, which is the three pigs. So it's got a pork belly, it's got a sausage, and it's got bacon, and so good.
If you're not hungry at listening to this podcast, you are now. So.
And then the other thing for me, and I don't think that I am sitting here with my pinky up sipping my champagne. I live in Maine, so it's lobster, but it's not like go to the Reds
Eats. Get them at a gas station,
basically. Oh, no. So I go down to the docks.
Yeah.
Like in Harpswell, which is like 20 minutes away. The guys pull up with their lobster boat. You can get lobster on the dock for like $5.99 a pound. It's cheaper than burger. It's cheaper than steak. So like, and I'll cook it myself, and we'll have lobster. Sometimes we get Jonah crabs, which you don't eat the actual crab. You eat the claws. So they have big old. So like, sometimes we'll get crab claws, mussels, which are like throwaway, like bycatch, but like you can get them for like $2 a pound for mussels. So good. So that to me, that summer is. Yeah. Summer is food trucks and seafood.
Rocky, lobster. I know it's cooking in the Philly. in the Philly Grill back.
Chicken fingers.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you should have this because I feel like I should have gone first and Zach could have gone second. He went on for 5 minutes, and I'm going to take like 10 seconds. But
I mean, I can come around and get you. I can bookend you.
I dig. Actually, watermelon is a really good answer that I did not think of. I love a good fresh watermelon. But I always think also when I thought of summer, I think of grilling. And I think I mentioned this on the pod before. One of the things I love when of a grill is I love a hot, specifically a very black charred hot dog. I love that off the grill. I don't know what it is about the char. I love the char on the hot dog.
Now you guys, because I think this is a main thing, but we have red hot dogs. So they're regular hot dog. You can look them up. They call them red snappers, although I don't know that anybody from Maine.
That's a thing in Chicago too. They're called red hots, but they're not the same exact thing.
But they're not they're not like spicy or anything. It's just like a regular beef hot dog like you get. But they're red and they've got like a little different flavor than for whatever, maybe it's the red five or whatever the dye is that they use that they shouldn't. But
yeah, no. For me, it's actually pretty basic for me too. It's kind of charred hot dogs and watermelon and all that stuff. Lemonade actually hits super big in the summer. I think that's a big one.
Did you see my milestone shirt?
Yes.
Speaking of hot dogs,
milestone.
Yeah. Very sad. I almost don't want to go to Canton because
I know
milestone isn't there.
I know. We'll make peanut butter and jelly dogs ourselves.
I may just stop in Pittsburgh and go to 2 baseball games and then drive home.
All right, let's get to Dynasty's questions. His first one I thought was a really good question. He always says, people always say draft for value, trade for need, and I do. But if you do that with contending teams, you put yourself under the gun to make those trades before the season. Do you ever have a problem, not in TA obviously, although I do have this problem in TA sometimes too, making that smooth pivot to lineup season, and when do you flip?
This is a really good question.
Yeah.
And I cheat at the answer to this. Well, no, so because I am not a natural trader. Mm-hmm. So I give a credit whenever I'm on a show and people talk about trading to Trade Addicts. Specifically, and then Dynasty Trades HQ, which was Shane Manila and Sipes and Jeremy Broen, but Rocky and Russ and obviously you, Frank, and that is where I kind of cut my teeth and learned how to trade. And so I don't have to trade to build a team, which I know that sounds strange, but trading is kind of a secondary pitch for me.
Yeah.
So it's like you learn how to throw a splitter, but you have a good fastball and you got a good curveball, and then you learn how to throw a splitter because you could, so it's not a weakness. And so I build teams through the draft, and I set up my teams in such a way that I'm cycling through where I draft a running back who ends up being good. Hopefully that's the idea.
Yep.
And then when they've gone, I usually go 2 seasons. Sometimes I'll push it out to 3. I will trade them, get a young proven, we'll say proven wide receiver, and then another first. And it keeps my team churning and building that way. And so I'm not necessarily having to trade at a deadline for the point scoring season because I've been doing this along and building through the draft and setting my team up that way. And so I think that, not that you have to do that specifically, Dynastud, but I would try to identify a weakness of mine, figure out who does that really well, and either listen to them or pick their brain and make that a strength or at least not a weakness. And then when you come to this point in the season, you don't have to rely strictly on trading. You're not relying just on your fastball. you have other avenues to be able to do it. Maybe it's evaluating rookies. Maybe it is roster construction. So you're not worried about finding a running back because you have seven running backs who are going to play at points during the season. And so you can cycle that through, you know, different avenues to build before you get to, holy cow, I have to make trades because I did all this value and now I need to actually, you know, make my team.
Mm-hmm. Rocky.
So it's funny. I kind of tend to do, it's probably, it should be not recommended to do what I tend to do with a lot of my teams, which is more the, what Zach is, I think, is the more better way to go about it and try and keep cycling. I am personally a believer that it is very hard to keep a dynasty team cycling year over year over year. So I tend to lean into contending when I'm contending.
Yep.
And then just go through a year or two of rebuilding after that. And just accept the loss that I'm going to have a couple down years. Mm-hmm. And I would say one thing. So I think too that, like, if you're drafting for value and trading for need, you're going to, you know, if you're keeping your picks, it's likely going to work out in the wrong run, especially if you're listening to people like Zach. But also I would say that, like, I think something that, I don't know if this entirely answers the question, but it's something I thought of when I saw it, is that, like, I think people, especially if you're trying to do what Zach is doing, and this is the right thing to do, is people will get rid of guys a year or two early. And if you don't, it sometimes works out better than you think in terms of winning. So,
it does. But you can also go back and so there's this cool window where, like, you know, you use Derrick Henry for two years or 3 years. You trade him. You get the first plus the receiver. And then 2 years later, people are like, okay, Derrick Henry's done. And then you go back and get him for a second, and he's still Derrick Henry.
Yeah. That period's 2 months from now, like in July for me. That's when people start flipping and trying to decide what they need. And I want to put a bit of an asterisk on this, and not to asterisk Russ's phrase, but this is more in relation to drafting, in the sense that you shouldn't pass on Mekhi Lemon to take Jonah Coleman because you need a running back.
Right.
There is an addendum to this where if Jadarian Price and Mekhi Lemon, for example, and you can say what you want about both, but for the sake of this argument, they're in the same ADP and you need a running back, not a wide receiver, you take Jadarian Price. And that's kind of what this means. The crux of this phrase is not to reach for starting position and to not, like, you know, blow a pick on something that might not work out for you. And so when I think about kind of starting lineups, I'm closer to Rocky than Zach, but I am kind of in the middle where, if I'm rebuilding, I'm always working, but, like, the TA6 and TA8 teams that I've talked about, I've barely touched because those are kind of ready and raring to go, just, you know, pending one or two little tiny moves, but I don't touch those very often. So that's kind of my thoughts on it. Well, Zach, what do you have?
No, and I think that also you need to – think about two things, and one we already talked about, where, like, is there fresh blood in your league, because that's an easy way to kind of shake loose a trade.
Yeah,
because people want to put their own fingerprint on a team. The other part of things is, if you drafted for value and your team is pretty good but you have holes, you have, like, waiting a week or two or three is not the end of the world either. Like, that's the thing is those 3 weeks aren't going to make or break your season. If you look at the percentages, once you make the playoffs, the difference between the number one team coming into the playoffs and the sixth team, like, chances of winning is way less than you think.
Like, unless it's J-Mike.
J-Mike's an entirely different. I don't think I've ever beaten him in a league. I certainly haven't head to head. And I had one year where I finished. I actually was just listening to. I intermittently go back and listen to the Peter Howard's Dynasty Crossroads, and I go back and listen to the Open Bar, and I happen to hit like those two shows around the same time, and I was complaining about losing like four leagues. I finished second in four leagues to J Mike on one play. It was Stephon. It was Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs.
Yeah,
and I lost four leagues, and it was against the Patriots. So it was even
Russ. Like, yeah, Russ often brings up that game. When we recorded on Monday nights. It was one of my first episodes. And when we recorded on Monday nights, he lost to Har on a league in that game. Yes, by a half a point or something.
Yeah, miserable.
And brain burst. Doesn't really have a question, but I think his point is good. He says, my biggest fear is that I'm buying into the Browns too heavily. It feels to me like they've been making so many good moves the past few years and have been fading QB in bad QB classes. And I feel like if they get a really good QB in next year's draft class and their offensive pieces and their elite defense, they could be a really good team. And that might be an answer to one of the future questions. But, man, they better hit that quarterback because they haven't recently.
I like what they did at running back last year. That's all I'll say.
Yep.
I'm not as high on what they did this year with the receivers. Yeah. But I know a lot of people are, and so I'll be happy if they do.
Yeah, right.
More and good players. I thought you were saying that Brainburst made a good point that his current weakness is crispy pork belly banh mi. And I was like, yeah, that's a fantastic point.
That works, yeah. Okay. Let's get to Dynasty's other question. He says, how often, if ever, do things you say on the pod get used against you in leagues? For me, little, because I'm still green and no one listens to me yet. So no one has to do anything for me. Although I will say I will get, like, if I say, like, Mooney could be a sleeper, I will get Mooney for, like, a 28th, third, and fourth from Tyler the next day. He does jump on stuff like that, but... no one takes my stuff yet.
Did I mention Omar Cooper was drafted one pick?
I was gonna say.
It doesn't happen a lot with me, but I'd probably get more like Javonte Williams or Jalen Waddle type trades than the next guy. Often which I turn down because they're asking for too much.
But yes. Yeah. Jalen Waddle for Amon Ra or something crazy. Yeah. No, it doesn't hit us that hard yet. And then he says, who are the Knicks of the NFL, meaning the historically awful team who can make the leap and get to the Super Bowl this season? I actually have an answer for this. I did some thinking. So,
I'm just looking at the teams, and I don't really – nothing's sticking out to me.
My answer is the Houston Texans because that defense somehow got better this offseason. And if that offense scores literally like anything more than it did last year, I think that team can really make some serious noise because they took the Patriots basically to the end with Stroud throwing like 7 interceptions in one game. And like I said, the defense wins. And if that offense shows up at all, I'm like Montgomery should be an upgrade. They're getting Dell back, which whatever that means to you. And Nico is still Nico. And he just got all his money today. I didn't even put that in the news, but he got a contract like refinancing is what I'll call it, where they made all his money guaranteed. But I think it's Houston. And the Knicks thing is a little disingenuous because the Knicks have been kind of right there the last couple of years. Like they haven't made it to the finals, but let's not pretend like there hasn't been like a billion people jumping on 7th Avenue, which as a former person who lives in New York drives me bananas. Cause if I had to get home from work in that, I'd be upset. But it's
wild though. Cause like Houston was a playoff team.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. The Knicks lost in the second round, right?
Yeah.
And Houston is one step away. They're a Mikal Bridges away from something.
They've never been a legit contender, really.
The Patriots always kick them out. It's literally always the Patriots. So I don't know how that happens. I'm just, that's one of my NFL is scripted things where it's always Houston and New England on.
I mean,
at 4:15 Eastern on Sunday is always that game.
But before that, it was Jacksonville would always give you. And then before that, it was Indy. It just happens to be the
Jacksonville Patriots. Is my other team, by the way. I'm just scared Lawrence isn't going to take another step forward. I'm scared Lawrence has peaked a little bit. But
I mean, he's funny. He is as talented play to play.
Mm-hmm.
As any quarterback that I've watched, but he's another one of those guys that will make a play, and you're like, "What? Why? Yeah. Why? What did you? What were you thinking there?" And you just, it's hard to consistently win at an NFL level when you're not being consistent all the time. But
if you really want to follow the Knicks blueprint, Washington hasn't been good since the '90s, so do that.
Mark Rippon.
Yeah, it's funny because I named two AFC South teams, and that's probably why it's historically bad, because the Colts own that division for so long.
Yeah,
but I heard a stat the other day that the Jags were the number 7 scoring defense last year. They're not a bad overall team if Lawrence continues to grow and the receivers come in and Brian Thomas isn't scared to get hit every 5 seconds. And
now they got Hunter focusing on defense.
I hope so. I'm kind of tired of this. He's been doing that for a while now, and he was good in college, but he's a better corner than he is a wide receiver.
It was very funny listening to talking rookies when he came out.
Yeah,
because people are like, "Oh, he can be Shohei Ohtani," and I'm like, "I don't think you guys realize how good and how difficult it is to be Shohei Ohtani, and also to do it in the NFL where offense and defense are both so different and so incredibly physical. It's not necessarily that way. Baseball is so different, where hitting is physical in very short bursts, but it's not something that it's not going to take a lot out of you being a hitter for a game.
Right.
But pitching, obviously it does. I mean, pitching is labor intensive but to go from offense where you are being explosive and, putting out max effort and making plays and getting hit, and then swapping and playing defense where you're putting out max effort, you're giving hits. It's incredibly difficult, and to expect somebody to do it at that level. And we've never seen anyone play the game two ways at that level. We haven't. Mm-hmm. I know people will say Deion. No, Deion hardly played offense. Hardly played offense. He was one or two fly patterns a game.
Yeah.
And that was incredible. But it's just not – it's – no offense to Colorado, but this is an entirely different level of football.
Mm-hmm. Jabril Peppers was one of those two where he kind of played some offense at the start but just went to defense.
Yeah.
Hunter's – I think it's more likely than not he's going to be on defense.
Yeah, so I think so too.
If you find someone who still believes in Hunter as a real rookie wide receiver, quote unquote, then you should get rid of him for that.
You know, what's funny is I still think he was the best wide receiver in that rookie class.
That's true. The problem
and
is
he's a better cornerback. And I that was part of my write up. I was like, man, this class, the best wide receiver is a corner. So I don't know.
This is a Zach question. Do you have any literal sleepers in this rookie class? I'm talking guys other people see and react like who, but guys where you still love them and are drafting them late. I wonder if you're going to talk about Brennan Thompson.
I mean, I don't think actual sleepers exist. Like, yeah. I don't think that we miss, because like sleepers, when that term was first coined, it was basically like redraft, and there weren't a lot of people doing analysis. And so like there were guys that people weren't talking about.
Right.
I don't think that exists anymore. I mean, like, I went 50 guys deep and there are analysts doing 3-4 times that. There aren't sleepers anymore. But yeah, like Brennan Thompson is the best deep ball tracker in this class, and he's 5'8", 5'9", like, and runs a 4.24. So like, if you're going to bet on an outlier, bet on a guy who could actually, it is an actual outlier. And then the other player that I like who didn't get necessarily the draft capital, and again, may or may not be anything, is Bryce Lance. So he ended up in New Orleans, which is obviously not great because you already had Jordan Tyson end up in New Orleans. You've already got Olave in New Orleans. So like it's a crowded spot. But I think Lance fell a little bit in the NFL draft because of where he played and because it's hard to see a guy translate from North Dakota State to the NFL. And but I think that he is easy, fast, and is actually better at doing a lot of the other things than people give him credit for.
Yeah.
But he's in a perfect spot to just be a deep threat and learn how to do the other things more consistently. And so those are the two guys. And really, if we're doing this for real, you should be picking like running backs. Like running backs should be really should be your sleepers. But I don't know that like this class is just so gross that I don't think that there's anybody in this class that I'm really excited about as a sleeper running back. So it's those two wide receivers and maybe I guess it depends on what your league looks like and I do like Tanner Koziel as a tight end. I think he ended up in Jacksonville, but like he is the most room for growth. He's kind of that athletic specimen who I think can play two ways.
But
I don't know. There's nobody real like this. It's not really exciting. Sorry. I want to be excited.
My fourth rounder I took a lot was Talon Green, but that's just because he's athletic and I could get him in the fourth round. And maybe he starts a game for Cleveland, but that's the only reason.
Did I send you the Brennan Thompson videos?
Of his like tape? No.
Yeah, I'll send you like a Brennan Thompson. Like it's dumb. Like you only have to watch the first 30 seconds of it, and you're just gonna be like, "This is dumb."
I'm bringing you a Charger shirt to Canton.
San Diego Superchargers.
They need to go back. we all know we have trading problems as certified TradeX, but at what point do you actually think someone has a trading problem? Never. What are the signs? And Rocky and Zach can decide if I have one in TA2. Never.
Honestly, I think if you're admitting it at the beginning of a show, that's a pretty good sign.
Yeah. And you know, if you're trading the 305 for the 304 just to feel something, maybe we can have a discussion. But
it's very Belichick,
like, I think like, I don't think there is such, like, if you enjoy trading, do trading. Yeah. And Dynastud's been on and he's going to be on again and he'll say he has a trading problem at the start, and I'm sure it's going to be fitting.
I'll be like, that's how you know.
See, he said it, yeah. But that's the end of our show sheet, so that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Zach, for coming on. We always appreciate your insight and shenanigans that you bring. So before we head out, why don't you remind everyone where they can find your stuff, what you're doing Fantasy Cares-wise. You'll do it better than me, so if you want to do the Fantasy Cares stuff instead of me, please do.
Yeah, so Fantasy Cares, fantasycares.org. We got the Scott Fish Bowl going right now. You can still sign up. You can still get in. The mm-hmm. scoring goes live tomorrow yep. on the Wednesday night hangout. So come join us on the Fantasy
Cares. It's not on the hangout. He's doing it at 1:30 Eastern.
On the hangout, we're doing a,
yes.
I believe, a mock draft with yes. the Scott Fish Bowl scoring.
Yes.
So there's that. There are the $5 underdog best ball drafts that you can do. Come in, help us out with those. Shopfantasycares.com. You should go. Yeah, that is a beautiful shirt. We keep putting more and more shirts up,
so
and they're awesome. And yeah. so I have spent conservatively like 2 weeks pay on t-shirts so far this year. And it's going to end up being more, cause I know we're going to release more, but like the theme this year of Scott Fish Bowl 16 is video games. Mm-hmm. There are so many amazing shirts. Actually, yep. I went over to my in-laws' house this afternoon, cause it was like 80 degrees. We went swimming. My father-in-law comes out in the Scott Fish Bowl shirt. I'm like, this is like,
yeah.
He didn't even plan it. He didn't know we were coming. So it was like, yeah. they're stylish. They're fashionable. You know, shopfantasycares.com. And again, there's still spots in the fishbowl mm-hmm. to be given away. So yep. sign up at scottfishbowl.com.
The Discord is giving away, as Bosch would say on race day this morning, like as much as he's remembering to put it on the giveaway thing, the Discord's giving away spots too. So I think it's fantasycares.com/discord. Don't hold me to that. Fantasycares.org/discord probably. And yeah, our stuff, patreon.com/trxpod. You can watch us. We record. You can see the beautiful SFB16 Rainbow Row shirt, which might be one of the best shirts they've ever put out. And we also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club, which Rocky kind of highlighted. There's been a lot of talk in there recently. And, you know, Zach kind of covered the Fantasy Cares stuff. So we will see. I will be in the chat for sure at 1:30 Eastern tomorrow. So get ready for SFP scoring, people, and we can talk about it a little bit next week. But as Russ Fisher always told us, if you have a training problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Frank. Good night, Rocky.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pan. That is the best. See ya.